Good evening, everybody. This is Rick Hogan. This is After Hours in the new, I'm still going to say this forever, the new civilized hours of 7 to 9 p.m., except when there's maybe a baseball game coming up. Over the recent weeks, I am sure that many of you were heard the name Frederick Douglass evoked for a variety of different reasons. I'm hoping that some of you said, yeah, I've heard of that name. Maybe I'll find out more about that guy. I didn't need to because some years ago I read a book titled Douglass and Lincoln, How a Revolutionary Black Leader and a Reluctant Liberator Struggled to End Slavery and Save the Union. I was lucky enough to get another copy of it recently and reread it. And Paul Kendrick on the phone, one of the authors. This is a spectacular book, Paul. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you so much for having me. It's incredible to be with you on this great program, as you are someone who loves Chicago, loves Illinois history, and so it's really fun to talk about it with you tonight.
This literally is one of the great pieces of Illinois history. You know, we're tearing down statues of Stephen A. Douglas. We're thinking about it. I just saw some thing today about someone, some university somewhere, threatening to tear down a statue of Abraham Lincoln. You give this, those three men, and Stephen A. Douglas is a fascinating guy too, who you describe in here. I'll read some stuff in here. You describe him. Stephen A. Douglas, nicknamed the Little Giant by some, was a small, rotund man, barely over 5 feet tall. Stephen Douglas, who dropped the second S from his name when he went west and he came here from Vermont by way of upstate New York, was running for the Senate for the third time, a nationally prominent figure perennially mentioned as a Democratic candidate for president. Not only did he and Abraham Lincoln have a series of famous debates, I'm so taken with the fact that he... There was to be the fascinating history of that Douglas and your Frederick Douglass. They almost fell into this incredible kind of debate thing, too. Paul, who was Frederick Douglass in a way that listeners can not only understand, but be drawn to? This was a man who, for in his entire life, and correct me if I'm wrong, did not know the date or the year of his own birth.
Yeah. Well, we think of Douglass as Frederick Douglass as kind of the final founding father, as someone who, and this is why with his 4th of July speech that hopefully folks saw a lot of discussion about over the last week, why it's still such a startling document, because he really believed in the vision of the founding father generation, 75 years before his career. But then he was outraged by the hypocrisy that he was born into with slavery, that he escaped from, and that he began a career to advocate against it. And so what our book is really about is when the Civil War breaks out, when the South wants to secede after 20 years of dedicated activism for Douglass, it was kind of the opportunity of his lifetime to make this conflict become about freedom, with black soldiers fighting to secure it in a way that could never be taken away from them. And so we wanted to tell the story of the relationship he forged with our great Illinoisan, Abraham Lincoln, because there was a lot we can all learn from both of them, from Douglass, someone who had the vision for really the America that we are still working to become, of social and political equality in a multiracial society. And that's what I mean about completing taking forward the founder's vision. But then how Lincoln was able to listen to him and really respect his perspective and was able to grow in Lincoln's own sense of what he could achieve and that ultimately led to the 13th Amendment. And so we thought that's a story that has to be told. But for Douglass, I really have just wanted Americans to appreciate him, his heroism. And a lot of people, you know, we know, he escaped from slavery. We read that in school. But to understand at this key moment in his life how he really seized the Civil War and made it a conflict about saving the Union become about freedom. But that happened through his passion and dedication to really achieving that vision.
When the other stunning thing about it is, and you capture it all in Douglas and Lincoln, but it is the fact that he and Lincoln had three meetings. And I think the importance of this book, Paul Kendrick, and we'll talk about your co-author, the esteemed Stephen Kendrick, in a moment, that those three meetings change Lincoln, because as you write, if I can read, the book is so readable, too, for a incredibly deeply researched historical book. You write here, Paul, with your dad, Stephen, the Civil War has often been called America's Iliad, but it had not been noted enough that we are still engaged in writing it. Frederick Douglass is a relatively new player in the Lincoln saga, and the reason for this is relatively simple. Lincoln, as the great emancipator, has always been portrayed as the sole, wise, and benevolent actor in the great drama of the Civil War. You then talk about decades of other biographies where the role of Douglass is kind of seen as a kind of oddity, rather than you make the case that as a crucial player in this Iliad-like saga. Stephen Kendrick is your dad. He is a senior minister at the First Church in Boston. I think he still is. How did you two come upon this story, and what compelled you to tell it, and then what compelled you to work as colleagues on it? It's never easy, you know. Maybe in the Lincoln times, you could build a cabin with your dad, but working with your dad on a working with your dad on a book can be, as I have done with my father Herman, a kind of stressful period. What was it? Did your dad come to you and say, "Hey, Paul, look what I found. I need some help with this." Or, "Hey, Paul," or did you have a shared passion for it?
More the latter. Mm-hmm. Our first book was about a civil rights case that happened in Boston in the 1850s. It was kind of the first struggle for desegregated education that began the 100-year road to Brown versus the Board of Education, was successful in 1855. And so that book, Sarah's Long Walk, kind of just came out of our interest in this thing. The story we kept learning more about, where my father lives in Boston. And then for this second book, my dad was born in Wheaton, Illinois, and he and I saw, the cabins, in New Salem, where, Lincoln, his remarkable years of how he came from there to where he was. And so he'd always loved Lincoln, and we just thought, wow, two of the most incredible heroes of American history, Frederick Douglass and Lincoln, they had this relationship that felt undertold.
Oh, absolutely.
And that felt like it's a new way to understand the Civil War, mm-hmm. When you see it through Douglass's eyes, because he was racing against time to not just, if the Union won too fast, slavery would have continued in the South, and they wanted a slaveholding empire throughout this hemisphere. And then obviously if the Union lost, then the opportunity Douglass's life is over and slavery continues. And so it's just this very urgent struggle for Douglass, but his vision that black soldiers had to fight in this war and his sons would.
Yep.
And that first meeting with Lincoln was about seeking the equal treatment of those black soldiers. But it's this different telling of the Civil War when you understand kind of the statements that Lincoln made back when he was having his Senate race here against Stephen Douglas, to the kinds of things Lincoln is talking about in the last year of the war. And so the respect he gave Douglas, again, I think is just very instructive for all of us in being able, that we ought to be able to
listen,
hear perspectives that are not our own. We ought to be able to listen.
I mean, if Lincoln,
re-examine things and grow.
Yes, if Lincoln could change his mind.
Exactly.
I'm talking to Paul Kendrick, the younger half of the duo, with his father, Stephen, who has written Douglass and Lincoln, How a Revolutionary Black Leader and a Reluctant Liberator Struggled to End Slavery and to Save the Union. If you kept hearing the name Frederick Douglass around the 4th of July and thought, well, maybe I'll learn some more about him, this is the book to go to. We'll take a short little break and continue on, because he really did. I think he was essential to changing Lincoln's attitude toward a number of things. So we'll be back in a couple minutes. When Paul Kendrick collaborated with his father, Stephen Kendrick, on their first book, Sarah's Long Walk, The Free Blacks of Boston and How Their Struggle for Equality Changed America, they seemed to have such a good time that they then decided to collaborate in 2008 on one of the most remarkable books I've read in some time, Douglas and Lincoln, How a Revolutionary Black Leader and a Reluctant Liberator Struggled to End Slavery and Save the Union. Paul wisely married one of the beautiful Shulman daughters and now lives in Chicago. And this book, Paul, is just, I read it when I first met you, and you said, well, I wrote this book by Lincoln. It just has, I mean, I could read dozens of paragraphs. Here's just one, talking about Lincoln before his meetings with Douglas. But Lincoln had been born in the slave state of Kentucky and had married into a slave-owning Todd family of Lexington. His only truly intimate friend, Joshua Speed, had returned to Kentucky after his Springfield days to oversee a slave plantation. Further, Lincoln had been nurtured in free soil Illinois with its fervent anti-black laws and had long been an open and steadfast opponent to racial abolitionism. It was not surprising that this man had been a reluctant liberator. That's what I think you and your dad capture so well in this thing, that Lincoln is, I don't know who these jokers are who want to tear down one of his statues somewhere, but is seen as just this, you know, as if he was born enlightened and illuminated. And you make such a good case, that it was Douglas, who was not at all, Frederick Douglass, who was not at all pleased with Lincoln's first inaugural address, who helped this man, who helped Lincoln. Lincoln's seen as such a god and icon that how could anybody help Lincoln think he was a genius? But Douglass, you make such a profound case that Douglass did illuminate this man and enlighten him.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it is a different way to see Lincoln, but I think when you do, your appreciation grows for him.
Absolutely,
as he was able to time things so well and achieve a goal. And he hated the institution of slavery for stealing someone else's labor, but he had to be kind of convinced that he could root it out of the South and putting black soldiers into battle. And that's how the Civil War became a revolution, even though it started as him trying to hold the Union together.
Sure.
But Douglass's great vision was for what it could become. And then Lincoln's second inaugural that Douglass was at, and we write about the incredible meeting that they had at the inaugural ball, where Lincoln says to anyone who will listen around him that no one's opinion means more to him than Douglas's.
I know. Very powerful.
The growth is just,
the growth
is incredible. So this has kind of been a theme of ours of looking for kind of hopeful moments of interracial collaboration history. That's what our book that's coming out in January is a major theme of. It's called 9 Days. The Race to Save Martin Luther King's Life and Win the 1960 Election. And so, you know, we keep looking for stories that help us, I think, have a roadmap forward in the work that we all have to do for equality in America, that kind of ongoing struggle that we're all part of.
And for also, it's not...
We can learn
from a lot.
Just,
it's not just... And you learn this from what happened to Lincoln. It's not just for equality. It's for a healing of sorts of the wounds that various people have inflicted on this republic. He, in the wake of the other interesting thing about Douglass is, I just read a book about the antebellum years, about a book called The King of Confidence, about a guy who named himself a monarch of Beaver Island. And this was Frederick Douglass did a lot of his speaking on the whole notion of the self-made man, which was really big in antebellum America. That part of the book is fascinating. The parts of him working for the North Star are equally riveting. And this guy had a life. You know, Lincoln died, as we all know, in 1865, and Douglass carried on for 30 more years, you know, praising Lincoln, but also Paul Kendrick being aware of Lincoln's shortcomings. Yes.
Yes, and there's another great piece of Chicago history in this, in that Douglas, in his last years, gives a speech in Jackson Park on the South Side at the World's Fair against lynching. And so even though Douglas had achieved this mission of his life of ending slavery with the 13th Amendment, there's always this backlash to progress. And so, he would spend the decades that followed, and often with presidents who did not listen to him the way that Lincoln did, continuing to fight against the backlash that happened. And so, and that's why I think we go back to his 4th of July speech and to hear the pain of those who are saying, you are rejoicing, I am mourning. And, yeah. And it's such an important thing for all of us to grapple with as we seek to make our country live up to the ideals that we have. And so Douglas really saw Lincoln as someone who was able to really deliver, like really be useful and make change that was obviously transformative. This is an ongoing thing, and that Douglas's vision for a political and socially equal country, we still need to make that real for everyone every day.
I know this is a real odd question, and please feel free to say, Rick, you're an idiot. I don't want to answer that. what do you think, and I'm not talking about the absolute this week, but what do you think, Steve? What do you think Frederick Douglass would have made of the civil rights movement? I know he would have been, were he to be alive, a vibrant, wonderful voice in that. And since you and your dad are writing about Martin Luther King, what do you think he would have made of that? I know it's an idiotic question, but give it a shot.
I would encourage all of us to read his 4th of July speech, to read his writings. He was a journalist like you at heart, and his writings, I think, are not hard to extrapolate, the meanings from it for today. One of his last words were, agitate, agitate, agitate. So I think we can safely say he'd be on the side of activists who are, really speaking truth to power and making demands. Because, again, he wanted to transform America into a place with education for everyone, with that allowed people to live their life. And so, when you have situations like George Floyd or Breonna Taylor, Elijah McClain, for them, that promise was not lived out and made real. And so, you would have to imagine Douglas would be someone who would really be pushing us and would be out there to make sure that, that is a reality for all of us and everyone can live free.
I just think he is one of history's great underappreciated figures. And this book, Douglas and Lincoln, which is available wherever books are available, How a Revolutionary Black Leader and a Reluctant Liberator Struggled to End Slavery and Save the Union. It is incredibly well detailed, written with great polish and artfulness. And it is a story literally as it is perfect for these precarious times in which we're living. When is your new book out, and what is it titled, Paul?
Yeah, so the new book is out in January, and it's called 9 Days, and it is about a 31-year-old Martin Luther King's first overnight imprisonment that was very perilous in a Georgia State prison, and how a journalist from the South Side named Louis Martin, who worked for the Chicago Defender, went to work on the Kennedy campaign, ended up helping save King's life and swing the black vote in America in this close election between Kennedy and Nixon. So it's a really exciting political thriller, but ultimately...
What I always ask you when I meet you at a party, is it finished and at the publisher?
It is finished. You can pre-order it on Amazon.
Congratulations.
9 Days by Paul Kendrick and Stephen Kendrick, and it's really a story about different kinds of courage against racism.
I've been hearing about
it. And how we bring change, against racism. So we're really proud of it. And
people are going to
get a lot out of it.
I wish I could see you in person, but this phone is good enough, and this book is beyond fine. Douglas and Lincoln, How a Revolutionary Black Leader and a Reluctant Liberator Struggled to End Slavery and Save the Union by Paul Kendrick and his dad, Stephen Kendrick. Paul, love to everybody.
Oh, you're so kind.
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Thank
Great
you.
Talking with you.
See ya.